Looking for a Honda? Get to RoushHonda.com. Save thousands on a great selection of new and certified pre-owned Hondas. Buy or lease, cars, trucks, and SUVs. Preview them at RoushHonda.com. And remember,
you never swear to say Honda. It's Roush Honda.
745, 610 WTVN. This is Bob Connors. Let's spend a couple minutes with Matt Mayer, president of the Buckeye Institute, which, as I understand it, down through the years, the Buckeye Institute for Public Policy Solutions, a Columbus-based think tank that focuses on economic freedom, job creation, and government accountability. Matt, good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me, Bob.
So you are of the belief the Ohio job climate is even worse than you had thought.
Yeah, it is worse than we had thought. We had initially released a report about a month ago that had some disturbing figures in it. But on March 1st, the Bureau of Labor Statistics revised all of their state employment data back to 1990. And what the data now shows, it was worse than we thought. The reality is, over the last 20 years in Ohio, we've added a net of 79,900 private sector jobs, while at the same time we have added about 67,100 government jobs. So we know we have another month or two of job losses in the private sector, and we're going to have created more government jobs over the last 20 years than we did private sector jobs.
Those are probably decent-paying jobs.
The government ones?
Yeah.
Oh, they're incredibly well-paying jobs. I mean, in the report that we did, the State of the State report, what we found was in 87 out of 88 counties, federal workers make substantially more than private sector workers in those counties. In 85 of 88 counties, state government workers make much more than their private sector neighbors in those counties. And then in 57 out of 88 counties, local government workers make more than their private sector neighbors. So if you work for government, this has been a fine 2 years.
And probably pension plans that can't even touch anything else.
Yeah, you know, I ran the numbers yesterday just doing a projection based upon the current pay grid for state government workers. And the reality is, a state government worker over the course of about a 30-year career will put in about $144,000 total to the state pension, and they'll get over about $1 million out of that. So that is one heck of a return on their investment that is just not seen in the private sector anywhere.
So we're getting more government, probably getting higher taxes.
You bet, especially as we face this budget cut, or the budget deficit that's coming up here in the next biennial, which, as I understand it, the governor has no idea how to solve that problem other than to ask for federal money, which if he doesn't get, I don't know what he plans on doing, because he will not touch state government compensation, which is really a place where if you were to do a 20% pay cut, if you were to simply have state workers pay the percent of health care that private sector workers pay, and if you were to reduce the employment, the pension obligation of the employer, or the state here, down to 4%, which is what the private sector tends to do, we'd save about $2 billion over the next 2 years in state pay.
All right. So we need businesses that can offer the best goods and services at the lowest cost, and we're not getting that.
We're not. I mean, we have the seventh highest tax burden, state and local tax burden in the country, and we are pro-union. And so we have jobs that are not coming here, and we are losing jobs rapidly to the south and west. You know, we can't compete with China and India for low-cost labor, but we can't even compete with our sister states down south and west that protect the economic freedom of a worker. I mean, we've lost, in the last 8 months, we've lost three companies to Atlanta, Georgia. And since 1999, we've lost 20 companies to Atlanta, Georgia. So that's just one city down south that we've lost companies to. And it gets worse if you look at the entire south and west, where we are bleeding our employers.
You say one of the reasons for Ohio's weak job market is its pro-union policies. Talk about that.
Well, what we found is when we looked at job growth from 1990 to 2010, based upon whether you were a right-to-work state, you protected the right of the employee not to join a union, or if you were a forced unionization state like Ohio, where you forced people to join a union. What we found is, in the last 20 years, states that forced workers to join union had an average growth rate of about 16%, which is less than 1% a year in terms of job growth. If you were a right-to-work state, and there are 22 of them that protected that economic freedom of the worker, your job growth was 36% on average over the last 20 years, which is more than twice that of states like Ohio. And so, to me, there's a very clear correlation between being a pro-union state versus a pro-employer, pro-business state. And so if we don't figure out how to get Ohio into that pro-business column, we're going to continue to struggle to attract jobs and keep people here in Ohio.
How do we improve the Ohio job climate?
I think we've got to take a tougher stand against the state and government growth that is costing and driving our tax burden up. And we've got to tackle this pro-union policy mentality and this regulatory environment in Ohio that is putting too heavily a burden on our private sector job creators.
And there you have it. Not necessarily good news, but it's there. Matt Mayer, who is with the Buckeye Institute, as I had mentioned, a public policy group, a Columbus-based think tank focusing on economic freedom, job creation, and government accountability.